Welcome to the 1 Year Daily Chronological Bible Studies Podcast. This is Rodney Harrier, your host. If you are looking for a fresh and easy approach to read through God's Word and understand it, you have come to the right place. By following these chronological Bible studies, you will understand how the events, characters, and writings fit together in their proper sequence. What you learn can change your life forever. This is a summary of days 63 through 71 in our 1 year chronological Bible studies. In this week's Bible studies, Israel has arrived at Kadesh Barnea, the southern border of Canaan, their promised land. They are eager. They appoint 12 well-known men, one out of each tribe, to spy out the land. It takes 40 days to travel across the southern border to Lebanon, Syria, and Jordan. But what an abundant land! The grapes are so big and heavy with fruit, it takes two men to carry it on a pole between them. In Numbers 13, verses 26 through 33, the 12 spies give their assessment. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here's its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan." Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it, and all the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them." 10 of the spies that day spoiled the good report with fear and discouraged faith in the Lord. Only Joshua and Caleb encouraged the Israelites to believe God will help them. So the Israelites lose faith in God? They don't believe that the God who delivered them from slavery and sustained them in the desert can overcome a few large men? God is angry enough to kill them and make a new nation through Moses. But Moses intercedes, and God relents. However, all the people over the age of 20 will not enter the promised land, but be shepherds in the wilderness for the next 40 years. After this time, their children and grandchildren will enter the land and possess it. Here are a couple of lessons for us. It's dangerous for us to discourage faith in God. And God is forgiving and gracious. Yes, there are consequences for our sins, and yes, they may affect others. But still, God is gracious. Of course, the Israelites weren't too happy about being promised the land of Canaan and then losing it. The following day, they try to get what they think is an easy victory by their own strength. Maybe God will be impressed and changed his mind? But the Israelites are routed. Now they're angry with Moses and Aaron and decide they need new leadership. They lead an insurrection against them, but God defends his servants. An earthquake causes the death of the rebels and their families. And then God shows the Israelites he approves of Aaron. The Lord teaches the people and priests to respect each other and serve God in an acceptable manner. Unfortunately, Israel, as a punishment for her rebellion, wanders around the desert for 40 years Every day, many people die, and there's a need to keep their survivors clean and free of disease. Those who touch the bodies must cleanse themselves with a soap mixture. Even after we have a relationship with God, we touch many things in life that make us unclean. Here's the good news. When we confess our sins in genuine repentance, we can be washed by the blood of a lamb, Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God. Would Israel face any more trials in the desert? Yes, and so will we. Whether or not we're being punished, normal tragedies and trials are a part of everyone's life. Christians are not immune, but God can help us through each one. And as we seek to please Him, He will also give us victories and refreshments on our journey. During this 40-year span, Israel continues to have more and more children until she is a great horde of people. These sheep herders look harmless enough, but they fought and defeated the Amorites and King Og of Bashan. King Balak of Moab fears their nation might be next. He believes Balaam, a famous mystic, could be bribed to curse the Israelites so they can be defeated. But Israel belongs to God, and He defends her. Although Balaam wants the reward for proclaiming curses against her, God won't let him. Instead, He proclaims 3 blessings. If you are a follower of Christ, God defends you too. In our society, our web security gets hacked all the time, but firewalls, malware, and antivirus programs help keep us from being harmed. God is kind of like a firewall. Nothing gets by Him to harm us unless He allows it. In Romans 8:38-39, the Apostle Paul says, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, neither angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Like other people who try to harm us, Balak is frustrated. But the story isn't over yet. Balaam couldn't curse God's people because God wanted them to be blessed. But he was still greedy for the reward Balak promised him. He knew Israel's weakness, so he told Balak to have the Moabite or Midianite women to entice them to sin. In this, he was successful. God was angry and started killing the immoral Israelites. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the new high priest, stopped the plague, but not before God killed 24,000 of them. Moses begged God for forgiveness, and God forgave them. Like the Lord was gracious to Israel, God has been gracious to us, but it's our responsibility to live holy lives. We must live right before God to continue receiving His blessings. God wants us to be pure and not live according to the lifestyle of our culture. We don't want His discipline. We want His pleasure. How do we get back on track? After 40 years, that was the question the Israelites faced. For them, the first answer was a change in leadership. Some churches and religious organizations need to do this. Others need a total change of heart, attitudes, and a new commitment to follow God's directions. The second thing the new generation of Israelites needed was to learn God's word, to trust the Lord again, and teach His word to their families. Do we need new leadership in our families? The Lord doesn't direct us to divorce and get a new spouse. Instead, we should pray that God will lead our loved ones to seek Him. Then we should be persistent and believe God can save and repair our relationships. Are you a follower of Christ? If you are a mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, or other leader, pray that God would prune you so you can be an excellent example for others to follow. Yes, it hurts, but it's necessary. Then lead in your devotion to God. Teach children what God says, and live an exemplary life to help your family get back on track. What about the influence of Moab on the Israelites? Won't they do the same thing again? No. In Numbers 31, God instructs Israel to exercise vengeance upon Moab for violating them. It's true, the Israelites were guilty of sin, but the Moabites enticed them to make moral compromises. They were harming God's people. They could spoil Israel's happiness and inheritance in the Promised Land. Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed or happy is a nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance." In context, this is applied to the Israelites, but by principle, it applies to all followers of God, for non-Jewish believers also share an inheritance. See Ephesians 1:11 for proof of that. We don't want anything to spoil our inheritance. Does God want us to exercise vengeance on others who could harm our relationship with Him and ruin our future? No, but He wants us to eradicate any of our own evil behavior. He wants us to live holy so we will please God. Then He can bless us. In our daily lives, we'll face temptations and tests. If we make moral compromises or fail to do God's will completely, our actions can harm us. God will suspend His blessings and He'll discipline us. However, when we're careful to remove personal evil from our lives and live in fear or reverence of the Lord, God will continue His blessings. We should strive to distance ourselves from the sinful practices of the world and devote ourselves more to God. This is called sanctification. He wants us to live an abundant life, free from the trappings of sin, which will make us miserable. Please join me for prayer about this lesson. Dear Father in heaven, may your name be praised. You are Almighty and Holy God. Thank you for your desire to bless us and for the sacrifice of your own Son, Jesus, for our sins. Thank you for the new life we have through Him, and thank you for the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. May your kingdom be advanced, and may others come to know you because we share how holy you are and the love of Christ for them. Please provide for our daily needs, which we express right now. And give us courage to live pleasing to you. Forgive our sins of selfishness and immoral behavior. We confess our sins now in particular. Please clean us up so we can be holy again. Help us live in continual obedience to you to experience your pleasure. Help us forgive others who hurt us because we too have been forgiven. Lead us away from the temptations that would threaten to spoil our inheritance. May we glorify and praise your name, our Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now we will have a preview of this week's lessons. On day 72, we begin to move from the book of Numbers to the book of Deuteronomy. On day 72, God is committed to keeping the covenant He made with Abraham and their descendants, the Israelites. He gives them the land of Canaan, the Promised Land. Now they will have a place to call their own. Find out more about this and how it applies to us in this lesson. On day 73, like the Israelites, we want the best for our children, but we all make mistakes. When we reflect on our lives, what did we do we regret and wish the next generation would do differently? Join us for this Bible study in the book of Deuteronomy called Remembrance and Restoration. On day 74, now that we remember the goodness of God and are spiritually restored to Him, how do we succeed? On day 75, some people see rules as a drag on their lifestyle. The purpose of rules, especially God's rules, are made for an important lesson. Find out what it is. On day 76, now that we know the importance of following God's directions, what does it take to win? How are we preparing for victory? Find out on day 76. On day 77, we know what to do to win, and we know rewards will come. But how do we safeguard our inheritance? On day 78, we are to prevent corruption from ruining our inheritance. How do we do it? On day 79, the Israelites are warned about preventing corruption, so how do they or we remove evil? Find out on day 79's Bible study. On day 80, we purge evil so we can be wholly dedicated to God. Still, there are commands or policies and rules to obey, so God might bless us. Learn more about it in this lesson. On day 81, verbal commitments are important, but contracts give us responsibilities to fulfill. Our next lesson is entitled, Contracts and Commitments. Do we have any with God? On day 82, it helps to make verbal commitments to the Lord and have them in writing. But then, like the suzerain treaties of the day, there are witnesses to the covenant. What witnesses do we have to our covenant with God? That's it for now. Thanks for joining us. Keep going. You're doing great.
Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast so you can receive the episodes as soon as they are available. Thank you for joining us. Remember, go with God and He goes with you.